Food City makes it easy to shop your way. Just pick up your groceries curbside or have them delivered directly to your home. So whether you need weekly groceries or just a quick meal, Food City's got you covered. From their doors to yours.
All right, we're back. Hour two. We got one down, two to go here. If you missed any of it, always, Logan always does that. It's a great job of putting the podcast up there for folks, especially for my buddy. So my best friend in the whole wide world, his name is Ty Davis. He lives in Oregon, and he listens to the podcast, and he always texts me and then takes quotes of things that we say that had him spitting his water out of his water cup because it's funny. You just, you know, that's what we're here to do. That's why we're here, guys.
It's what we're doing.
That's it. That's it.
That's what we're doing.
That's it.
It is 10 o'clock here on the Hurricane Show. Tennessee, a winner last night over South Carolina by 20. Covered the number. We were talking yesterday. That was a lot of points.
No, I wouldn't. If anybody took that, then I'm good job. 99% of the people that had watched us play basketball in the last month would not have thought that we would have beat them by more than 15.
But
it actually kind of went away a little bit there in the second half, and it looked like, oh no, they may not cut, and then right back. They're done. Frank Martin and that team are not going to ever turn the corner this year. They're just not. They're not. That's just going to be what they are.
I think that one is. The ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Let's say.
That's sad, too, when it happens that early. I mean, that's not fun for any of them. It's not fun to coach like that. It's not fun to play like that. You try to rally them. You'll probably be able to motivate them and, like, really get them up for, like, a few games, you know. But it's like a bad football team. You think you're kind of good. Maybe we're good, guys. And then you get punched in the mouth in the first quarter against the team. And you're like, well, okay. Same old us, right? I mean,
Guess we're not.
Yeah. No.
Guess we're less good.
Yeah.
It's time for the 10 o'clock reset. That's thanks to our friends at Craven Wings. Craven Wings introduces kids eat free every Monday through Thursday at the South North Shore location. Kids 10 and under eat free from the kids menu. Purchase of an adult meal. Craven Wings loves kids. They love to save you money. The cleanest, healthiest chicken available anywhere. That is Craven Wings. Big topic Wednesday. College football season in review.
Ooh.
Outside of Tennessee, we've spent a lot of time breaking down what Tennessee season
always
looks
do.
Like. And we will continue to look at different ways to preview Tennessee over the next few months.
And Georgia won the national championship. Ugh. I know. Every time I say it, I wish people could see. I wish we had a camera in here for this only. I'll never do simulcast. But I wish we did. Your upper lip quivers and you look nauseous. Like you could be barfing on your brand new Mac computer right now.
Georgia.
I'll try not to say it much, but it's 3 for 3 today.
Georgia. What else happened in the season that was remarkable? We'll talk about that coming up here in just a few. We'll have our VFL, the NFL / NBA even update. Grant Williams doing some good things.
The Celtics have Josh Richardson and Grant Williams. If you're a Tennessee fan and you aren't rocking Beantown green gear, come on. Go with my C's, man.
NFL coaching turnover continues. We'll chat on that coming up in a little bit as well. And some post-game quotes from Tennessee and South Carolina last night. All that ahead on the Eric Haines Show. And that is the 10 o'clock reset thanks to Craven Wings, South North Shore, Choto. Also, Chapman Highway in Seymour. Can't forget that location as well.
Dude, I just never go out there anymore.
No?
No, I'm not for any reason. Not for any reason. I feel like different things. I used to do jobs or whatever. Like I just would. I would be out that way all the time. I love it out there.
Kelly was out that way this morning.
Nice,
showing a house. So
then, whoever she showed it to, buy it.
That's right. That would be great.
Buy it.
That would be great. All right. College football season is over. Matt Brown of The Athletic had a story up. I got Georgia right, but the rest of the AP top 25 was more unpredictable than ever. And when you go back and look at the initial AP top 25, you certainly don't think that was a... You could see how everybody got there, I guess is my point. There's nothing that... I don't think media, quote-unquote, missed what was going to happen this season. I think there's just some really incredibly unpredictable things that happen this season. And I think that's fun. I think that's one of the things that made this college football season as fun of a season as we've seen in quite a while, is that it was just so unpredictable on a week-to-week basis. Part of that was not knowing what was real and what wasn't real coming out of the 2020 season. All the turnover, the transfer portal, the uncertainty with NIL, all of those things came into play in the offseason, and it left you with a fairly unpredictable season. Now, what wasn't unpredictable was the two teams played for the national championship. I think a lot of people picked Georgia and Alabama, and a lot of people were right. The other two in the college football playoff, though, I don't know that anybody picked Michigan and Cincinnati at the beginning of the year.
No, I think a lot of people might have thought, based on the year before and with Ritter coming back and all the players they had coming back, that Cincinnati could be in the thing. But I don't think anyone really believed that they would. They've never gotten in. That is the first group of five school to ever get in. So it's kind of like, hey, Cincinnati might be really good, but they're not going to get in.
Preseason AP top 25. Alabama 1, Oklahoma 2. That didn't.
They weren't terrible. They just were not. 2.
Clemson 3.
Yeah.
Ohio State 4. Georgia 5.
Okay.
But got 3 first place votes. Texas A&M 6. They had the high of beating Alabama, but otherwise,
I never saw that. I just be honest. Like, I never saw them as 6. I just didn't.
You could see it from a talent standpoint. They had questions at quarterback. They had a couple of good ones, but not great ones. You're going to rely on a freshman at quarterback.
I just don't buy that ever.
Mm-mm. And it played out exactly like you and I said. Iowa State was 7. Cincinnati was 8. Notre Dame 9. North Carolina 10.
That's the big bust right there. Whew.
But when you looked at it in the pre, and I remember we had the conversation, you know, because every year we do the, all right, for however many years, one team in the top 10 has ended up unranked. Who's it going to be? And North Carolina wasn't somebody that you and I focused a lot on because they had a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback, talent all over the field, a head coach that's won a national championship, and an easy schedule.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Yeah, quarterback, head coach, schedule, it's a no-brainer.
And then what happened? They turned around and lost right away.
They just looked, you know what? So when teams like that, when Johnny come lately, we'll call it that, North Carolina football is that. I mean, when's the last time they were a preseason top 10 team? It's probably been a long time.
It's been a minute. Probably since Mack Brown was the head coach there last
maybe.
Time.
Yeah, right. So these teams kind of believe it sometimes, but if they're not used to being there, I'm telling, there is still doubt.
They went 6-6 and lost to everybody with a pulse except Wake Forest.
And it's kind of like you get all this hype and then you're not, it's not what the hype was or what you believed it was going to be. And then because of that, it's almost like they're less equipped to handle the failure and salvage the year. You know, if they would have been picked to be, you know, like 5th in the ACC, you know, just receiving votes outside the top 25, then when they lose, it's expected.
Yeah. And but you're like, dark horse team should be better, but eh.
But instead, when you have all those expectations, then the entire conversation turns to totally what a failure you are and how this season's already a bust. And none of those guys are used to being like being in that.
Yeah. They don't bust.
I mean, yeah. Saban and Alabama lose to Texas A&M and it's the only game they lose. And so even though they're picked to win them all, except for the two times they play Georgia, you lose once. And, like, that's a small retooling job. You know, it's like, hey, we did lose one game we shouldn't have lost in 3 freaking years. Like,
preseason, Oregon 11, Wisconsin 12.
They're good.
Florida at 13.
That's a huge bust.
Miami at 14.
That's an even bigger one.
Both of those schools have a new head coach today.
That's part of it, too. That's okay. So we're talking preseason polls right now. The preseason AP top 25 has killed more coaching careers than anything.
USC 15, LSU 16. So from 13 to 16, all 4 got new head coaches.
Wow. Well, it's because you're picked to be that good. That means you have to be that good. And if you're not that good, then something's wrong. And if you don't know what's wrong, you point to the coach.
Indiana was 17.
Ew.
Had one of the worst seasons.
Johnny come lately, though. They were good last year.
And the year before.
And the year before. They were fine. Yeah, they were good.
Iowa 18, Penn State 19, Washington 20.
All of those are safe, fine, top 25 you know, whatever.
Texas was 21. That is
the biggest bust of all of them. And I don't like to be wrong. It happens. I know you're hearing me. You're like, Ainge, you're never wrong. You could laugh in the mic. That was sarcasm, folks. But I have been saying, like, as soon as, like, year two at Alabama, Sarkisian, I'm like, so a couple years ago, I'm on here, go, this guy's the best offensive mind. He's incredible. It's crazy. It's like he was back at USC with Lane doing stuff no one's even doing. It's incredible. He got the coach at Texas. I mean, he's going to kill it out there. He's got the West Coast swag, the Down South swag. He'll put the Longhorn polo on, and he'll be mopping it up. And then they played football. So then you had a football team. So then you got to play football. And they sucked bad.
Maybe, just maybe, Steve Sarkisian is a really good football coach who is not a good head coach.
And that's still too early for sure. I would bet. If you made me pick today.
But it was the same thing at Washington. It was the same thing at USC. You see all the pieces. You see all the evidence that he should kill it. And then it's never anything more than, it's okay.
I'm not gonna bury him for dead here yet. I'm going to give him a little bit of time there. And you're going to have to see progress for sure.
Yeah.
But
it to me looked just like it did at Washington and USC, which is you see flashes of how great he could be, but he's not.
Well, at least he's on the Eric Gaines plane. At least he doesn't drink anymore.
Well, that's fair. Louisiana was 20.
Hey, trust me. If you're a college football coach at Texas and you play like that.
Yeah.
That is probably a more tempting thing than ever.
Yes. Louisiana was 23, Utah 24, Arizona State 25. That was the preseason rankings.
Herm.
When we come back, the number of teams that were ranked that we just mentioned that did not finish ranked and how bad, were their
seasons.
Don't
tell me what it is. I want to guess.
Okay. We do that when we come back. We're reviewing the college football season as part of Big Topic Wednesday on the Eric Haines Show. We take your phone calls and more thoughts next.
Eight six five six five six 9900. It's the Eric Haines Show. You're listening. Good for you. Good for you. Just a super above average show right here.
All right, you and I went through the AP Top 25 preseason rankings a minute ago.
We did.
How many of those 25 teams, because I know you weren't keeping count as we went along.
No, I don't. I have, like, no, this doesn't have anything useful.
How many of those teams in the preseason Top 25 finished unranked? Of the 25, how many finished unranked?
11.
14.
Oh, my gosh.
And some of them.
I was going to say 10, and then I figured I'd just buffer at 1 because we wouldn't do this conversation if it wasn't crazy. That is more than I've ever seen.
Okay, 3, you know, our stat. There's always somebody in the top 10 that
finishes unranked.
3. Texas A&M, Iowa State, and North Carolina all finished unranked. A&M preseason number 6 finished 8-4. Iowa State preseason number 7 finished 7-6.
That's not good.
North Carolina preseason number 10.
Brock Purdy. Still as the quarterback.
North Carolina finished 6-7.
With Sam Howell, a potential first-round draft pick. Anybody, whoever is drafting. Okay, you want to know who Sam Howell is? Sam Howell is Baker Mayfield without swag. They're the same height, basically. They've got cannons for arms. They can both use their legs, but they're not going to make a living running the football in the NFL. They're kind of smartish at times. But they had the light bulb hadn't gone off yet. They don't beat you with their mind. They still try to beat you. Like Baker still plays like he's at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And he tries to run out of the pocket and stuff, and he gets sacked every time. And you're sitting there watching, you're going, dude, you're not playing Baylor. You're playing the Bears. Quit trying to scramble. Like, it's frustrating, but that's Sam Howell. He's not as good Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I'd never draft him in the first round. That's 14 teams, though, dude. We don't count it every year, but we kind of pay attention to the top, you know, the top 10. We kind of have our little tracking things we do. That's crazy.
14.
And what were the teams all in the middle? 13 through 16?
Yes. Teams 13. So here's even better. Teams 12 through 17 finished unranked.
Every one of them?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So let me run through this. We just went through the top 10. Okay, Wisconsin was preseason number 12. They finished 9-4. Not
it's fine.
Not terrible. Yeah, no. Florida 13, 6-7. Miami 14, 7-5. Now, these include bowl games. I would prefer to have done the research and taken off the bowl games, but
it still sucks.
I didn't get there. USC was preseason 15. They went 4-8. LSU preseason 16 went 6-7. Indiana preseason 17 went 2-10.
Oh, geez, dude.
Penn State was preseason 19, got all the way up to the top five, and then finished 7-6.
Yeah.
Washington was preseason number 20, went 4-8.
But hey, prisoner of the moment, James Franklin, after, who is it, Mel Tucker, got his ridiculous raise at Michigan State, and I just will not accept that he's worth that kind of money. James Franklin and Penn State went, well, we don't want James Franklin to leave. He didn't say he was going to go. Listen, if they ever at Oklahoma State would have just said, hey, Gundy, every time you ask for an extension and money, we're going to take a year off your contract. Yeah. You either want to be here or you don't. You make plenty of money, dude. What's up? He's kind of redneck and like stubborn. Yeah. He might have just left, but like they'd be fine. He's good every 4 years.
Seven preseason top 25 teams finished with a losing record.
That's even crazier. I feel like that's the hardest. You know, like the top 10, we always say there's at least, there's one team, and usually it's only one team. And there's actually been a year, it was like 2 years ago, where there wasn't a team. And that was like the first time since we've been doing this.
It is a record, by the way. The most preseason top 25 teams to ever finish with a losing record was six. Happened twice, 2016 and 2000. So only three times ever.
In the modern era.
In the history of the AP poll have six or seven ranked preseason teams finished with a losing record. And so
So my comment earlier was the AP poll has caused more firings than anything. Because if North Carolina, let's use Indiana, right? Their coach over the last few years has had a lot of hype.
He's had a pretty good team,
yeah. Better than Indiana's used to having. And they get ranked up there in the top 25, and then they start losing, and it's that much worse because it's number 17 Indiana loses to unranked blah. Number 24 Indiana loses to. So you have all these ranked losing games, and you weren't a top 25 team. You sucked out the gate. You know, like North Carolina wasn't ranked all that, you know, ranked super high like that, and then played great for a month and a half and something happened. They sucked from the first snap.
And what's curious about it is I don't think any of those teams were wrongly ranked to start the season. I think you could show your work on how you got all of them to be there. Because we expected North Carolina to be good. Everything pointed to them being good. Indiana is a little different but they'd had two really good seasons. Back to back. Nobody expected them to go 2-10.
No.
It was okay. You can say, well, maybe they shouldn't have been the preseason, whatever it was, 17 team. Maybe they should have been 20-25.
That's the same difference
to
me.
That's still reasonable.
15-25. Really, honestly, 11-20 is one ranking.
100%.
And 21-25 is another one. It's like here's what we think the other good teams should be. We'll see what happens. People that do the top 10. They feel really good about it. And this year, there was three top 10 teams that finished unranked. That hardly ever happens. We've only had one in our time we've been following this where a top 10 team preseason AP poll ends up unranked. It's like one a year at the most, and there was three.
Indiana was only the second team since 1969 to be ranked in the preseason and win two or fewer games. The others, UCLA was 2-7-1 in 1971. Michigan was 2-4 last year. They only played six games. That doesn't really count.
No, but yeah.
But that's how rare it is. Okay, here's another one. Remember when Iowa had their big comeback win over Penn State in October?
Yep.
Both teams ranked in the top five. Iowa finished 23rd in the final rankings. Penn State was out of the poll. It is just the third time ever, that two teams that played in a top five matchup neither went to finish in the top 20. So only three times has there been a top five matchup in the season, and neither team finished in the top 20. Penn State, Texas in 1984, Iowa, Northwestern in 1959.
Wow.
See, these are the things that make this season so unique, is that not only did things happen that were weird, there are multiple instances of things that have happened like two or three times ever.
You know what I hear when I hear you going through all this?
Yeah.
College football is wide open. There are a few teams that are better than just about everybody else.
I think spots five through everything else is wide
open. Well, and Clemson needs to prove that they're going to be what they're going to be. Yeah. Listen, once you lose something, dude, it is not all that easy to get it back. It is hard. Mm-hmm. And he's not getting those players. He was probably counting on five players he was going to get in this class that are, you know, program-changing, three-and-done guys. They're not going to Clemson. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll still get players, don't get me wrong, because they've been recruiting them for so long. One bad year is not going to, you know, fluster some five-star that was got an offer from as a sophomore in high school. Like, Dabo can still go get guys, for sure. But it's different. No, not like he has been. And once you lose it, it's hard to get it back. You know, that's one of the reasons why with Sark, I'm a little patient with him, is because he didn't have it and lose it. If you get it and lose it, you're screwed.
Right.
If you don't have it yet, you have to hope you get it fast enough that you don't get fired. But it can take a little bit of time. You know, like Dabo didn't win like that the day he took over as the interim at Clemson. It took him years to get to the point where he was the Clemson the brand that is. That took him years to get there. It takes one to lose it, and you are in the most important year of your entire football coaching life if you are Dabo Swinney right now. Because if you lose it, it's hard to get it back. And I'm trying to think of some of these other schools. You know, none of them have been consistent enough. You know, like Ryan Day didn't lose it. They found a way to win the bowl game. It looked like they were going to lose, but they played pretty good, actually. They lost to Michigan the first time in, like, forever. It's like Florida-Tennessee, the Michigan-Ohio State game. I mean, even if Michigan should beat them, they just don't. And then this year, they got them. You know? Harbaugh's got his team in the playoff. But he's never had it before, and he stayed the coach. So he's got it now. So if he drops off the face of the earth again next year and the year after that, then it was a one-time deal. He's back to being what he is. Once you get it, you got to keep it in college football, and that is really, really hard to do. I'm glad Heupel didn't go 10-2 this year. You want to know why? Because if all those players left or Hooker went pro or something like that and we turned up 7-5 next year,
everybody would say it's a failure.
A failure. But if he goes, or even 8-4. Okay, let's say he goes 8-4 next year. Failure. But if he goes 7-5, 8-4, we're building. We're not there yet. You got to get there. And then you got to get there and stay there, and you can't have more than a year, bad year at a time. There's just no room for error anymore. People fire everybody.
Yep.
It looked like you were going to lose that game, so I already put in the paperwork to fire you. Hey, you did win it, though. You'll always have that, but you're fired. And it's crazy. Everyone's looking for lightning in a bottle. It doesn't exist.
All right, when we come back, we wrap this discussion up with some bullet points, some notes from the season on how they got there. That's next on the Eric Haynes Show.
Our last night, 22nd-ranked Tennessee took down South Carolina, 66-46. Santiago Vescovi led the way with 14 points. Josiah Jordan James and Zakai Ziegler each chipped in with 11. Elsewhere in college basketball, number 4 Auburn held on late to take down number 24 Alabama on the road, 81-77. 18th-ranked Kentucky got by Vanderbilt, 78-66. Number 19 Texas Tech upset top-ranked Baylor 65-62. Stanford also upset number 5 USC 75-69. Number 9 Kansas held on to take down Iowa State 62-61. And number 25 Illinois took down Nebraska 81-71. In the NFL, the New York Giants fired head coach Joe Judge yesterday after 2 years. And Giants general manager Dave Gettleman has also retired. In college football, Alabama has had 7 players enter the transfer portal following the national championship loss. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Welcome back into the Eric Haynes Show. Appreciate you tuning in up there on the Sports Monster in the Tri-Cities, right here on the GOAT Sports Talk Station in town, 99.1 The Sports Animal.
All right, wrapping up our review of the college football season. And again, you can check out, if you have The Athletic, Matt Brown had this great wrap-up of just how wrong a lot of the predictions were this year. And just how crazy this season was. Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State all finished in the top 10. It's the first time that has ever happened.
Those three schools specifically?
Together, yes. So the three traditional powers in the Big Ten. Because you don't throw Penn State in there because they haven't been in the Big Ten forever.
Yeah.
Only since the early 90s. First time ever those three traditional powers had all finished in the top 10 in the same season. It's only the fourth time Michigan and Michigan State have both finished in the top 10.
I mean, it's legit. I mean, those teams play each other. Did Michigan State play Ohio State?
I believe so.
I thought they did. I'm pretty sure they do. Regardless, though, I mean, anytime you have teams that play each other every year and they all finish, that basically means they're all winning all the other games except, and then you guys kind of beat each other up a little bit, but you don't lose any other games.
Fire this up for your Uncle Danny. Speaking of states with multiple college football teams, all three major teams from the state of Utah finished ranked. Utah was 12, BYU 19, Utah State 24.
Wow. Man, that is definitely the first time. Yeah. You don't even have to say that search. You don't need to research that. That is.
Meanwhile, for the first time since 1978, zero teams from the state of Florida were in the final poll.
Ah.
That's not the first time ever because there have not always been dominant programs in the state of Florida. Florida and Florida State were not good for a very long time. Miami wasn't good before the 80s.
Yeah, but you got UCF now that's a top 25 team week in and week out almost all the time now as well. You're just adding more schools to that.
They were on the edge of being ranked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Utah was the only state with three teams in the final rankings. Mentioned the three that were in. Michigan, Ohio, Texas, Oklahoma, and North Carolina each finished with two. By the way, the two teams from the state of Texas, not Texas, not Texas A&M, not Texas Tech even, Baylor and Houston.
Yep.
The only team ranked from California is San Diego State.
Nah.
And the only team from Louisiana is Louisiana.
Louisiana, yeah. No, well, perennial powers did not play good this year. A lot of them. But I go back to what we were just saying, though. If you didn't have, okay, this is what I know you can't do this, right? It's all about hype. It's about fun. But then, like, if I'm an athletic director and someone says, hey, you have the 12th ranked team in the country preseason, what do you think? And I'll go, I haven't watched enough practice. That's probably not true. Not sure. I'll watch. Like, I just, there's no formula to picking these things. So, like, you go in there, you're the top 12 team, and then you end up 8-4. If you're a Power 5 team and you're a top 10 team, let's just say top 10, and you finish 8-4, you're on the hot seat. Unless you've already won a lot or something, your seat is hot. It happens over nothing. Look at Butch through 2016. South Carolina, if he wins it, even if they lost to Vandy, which they wouldn't have if they didn't lose to South Carolina, that was for the division.
Yeah.
They would have won the division that year. Who knows what happens to his career? Or whatever else, or players he could bring. All I'm saying is, 1 week everything's fine, the next week it's not, and then at the end of the season, you're fired. Dan Mullen, in the beginning of the year last year, had as much clout as any non-Kirby, Saban, Ryan Day, Dabo. He wasn't in that group yet. He was right there. And then they barely lost to Alabama, solidified him even more. And then he ran us. And it was just like, huh. And by the end of the year, he's not the coach.
And see, to your point, Jimbo Fisher went 8-4. Is Jimbo Fisher on the hot seat? The answer is no, but.
It's no but.
With as much money as he makes, with as well as he is recruited, and with as much support as that program has, they finished unranked. Though, here's an oddity for Texas A&M. Alabama's loss to Texas A&M was the first time Alabama's lost to an unranked team since 2007. The Aggies were in the top 25 poll every week of the season except the week they beat Alabama and the final poll where they fell out after not playing in the Gator Bowl.
It's crazy to me. When does the college football playoff ranking come out? It's like
the final
halfway poll through the year?
Yeah.
About, it's like at the midway point-ish.
Yeah, mid-October, I think, is the first
one. Can we play a month and then rank people?
Yeah, but
it doesn't really matter. I know. It's like, it doesn't really matter. And, like, if you're an athletic director and you're mad because you had this super high preseason ranking and it didn't turn out that way, well, then, like, where are you getting your info, dude? This is the AP writers of America. They watch football. They know football. They don't know your team.
They spend the entire offseason poring over what happened last year and
to determine what happens.
And player movement to determine what they think is going to happen.
That's the only way to do it.
And
it's
again,
still flawed.
I don't think these terrible results are an indictment on media members not knowing football. I don't think you look at the final top 25 poll and you tell me that you could have called half of that happening at the beginning of the season.
No, you couldn't. And like, okay,
not
but if
one
you just told me this,
person.
I watched Tennessee football practice a couple times in camp and I watched Joe Milton throw the ball.
Yeah.
And Josh Heupel watched Joe Milton throw the ball.
Every person from media members to scouts that I talked to anybody behind the scenes in the program all agreed Joe Milton, unquestioned starting quarterback, and his ceiling is incredibly high.
I said, watching him throw the ball, I said, that guy throws the ball better than anybody I've ever seen play here. Hey,
and
anybody I've ever seen play here. It was insane. Now, he didn't do it in the games, and it's fine, whatever.
Everybody agreed, but and then they went and played the games.
If you'd have told me after watching that practice, the second was before they scrimmaged for the first time. But regardless, if you'd have told me that by week three, he's not even the starter, I'd have said, excuse me, what? Oh, God, we're going to be terrible. You know, does he get hurt? Well, those guys don't even look like they can play. Does he play so bad we're benching him? I mean, like, you just want to know. Okay, but then
he played bad and then he got hurt.
You got a hidden gem over here that no one even knows about. Even Hooker, if he claims he knew he was that much of a baller, he's wrong. He learned on the way.
At Virginia Tech, he was a guy.
He learned.
He was fine.
Week after week with what it was happening. That, oh my gosh, playing the game like this, this is amazing. I can really do this. And his confidence grew and grew and grew. And it was so fun to watch. But, you know, if you'd have put that same thing on there, Tennessee, you know, if this was Heupel's third year and they're ranked ninth in the country preseason and you're not going to have your starting quarterback into week three, you'd be like, well, season's over. And you just don't know. You don't know. I mean, like, you never know. Like, you can have guys that are coming back and then they get a little bit of an injury and then they're not playing that much.
All right.
There's no way to quantify it.
Last one. Teams that have won multiple AP national titles. Auburn, Florida, Florida State, LSU, Miami, Nebraska, Penn State, Tennessee, Texas, and USC. All finished unranked.
Whoa.
This is the first time in the history of the AP poll that none of those 10 teams have appeared in the final poll. The last time only one of those teams finished ranked was 1951 when Tennessee won the championship.
Wow. I mean, this is, especially after going through the little splits that we're doing right here, I don't ever remember anything like this in my lifetime.
I think the 2007 season was crazier top to bottom. Because remember, that was the year that Kentucky and Mississippi State both ended up in the number one spot.
Yeah.
But I think this is the craziest season beyond the top two.
It's just like, it doesn't sort of like, yeah, you always expect a Utah State. I mean, Utah, that's not in the same category. Utah is just a really good Power Five football team,
right.
Like a really good
right,
one. But teams like that, you know, you're like, all right, there's a UCF in here. Maybe there's a small Texas school. How about Louisiana? You know, there's those schools. You had your Coastal Carolina for a year. That's going away. I feel like those teams always find their way in there, but the teams that were there that should have been better that didn't last in the top 25, that's the crazy thing. It's like Texas with Steve Sarkisian, they weren't just like, it's not like they didn't live up to expectations, right? Well, they're ranked and they should be pretty dang good, but you don't expect them to be a five. What are they? Five win, four win, not a lot of wins.
Yeah.
Like, terrible. You know, like Indiana, preseason ranked, having good momentum going, few years, really good football. Okay, they're not ranked. You don't think they're 2-10. You think they're 7-5. You know, maybe 6-6, like some of those teams were. Like, you know, like Florida, you know, they won 6 games. Well, after the first month of the year, they thought they were going to win 11. But they're not ranked. Like, a lot of those teams, it's like they didn't just fall off a little bit. They completely fell off. And there's getting back on in the immediate future looks tough. Like, okay, Billy Napier, I'm not a big believer in that. I mean, I know maybe that's the best they could have done hiring, and that's I know he's a good football coach.
I would have
been
a big believer in him if he had been hired at LSU. I am not a big believer that he will be good at Florida.
And I feel like he's got his – I mean, he's got a lot of work to do himself. I mean, some of these teams that we're watching, and you see these teams, you know, changing coaches, like USC will be better. I think they'll be better next year than they were this year. They have to be. And with NIL stuff, you never really know what's going to happen anymore. But it's not a science. Gosh, if you'd have told me that Matt Campbell and Brock Purdy were coming back preseason ranked at Iowa State, and they've been playing really good football as a team, and you told me what their year was going to look like, what, 6-7, I think it was? Maybe 7-6, regardless. Like, that's terrible. You got the head coach who's an offensive guy, and your multiple-year starting quarterback who's widely regarded as one of the better quarterbacks in college football. He's not in the top tier for a draft class or anything like that, but he's up in the top 20 for sure in college football. And yeah, they just, you know, Mac Brown, Sam Howell, been playing pretty good. A lot of expectations. They don't just like not win the ACC to disappoint. They barely go to the bowl game and get beat by Shane Beamer. He's terrible. I don't know if you know this, but I don't like Shane Beamer.
You don't like Shane Beamer.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah.
He did do a pretty good job this year, though.
He did.
I got to give him credit.
All right, we'll wrap up this hour of the Eric Haines Show next. VFL and the NFL update on the other side.
I finished just in time. We have a sweet deal, right, Brian? That Kelly's Kitchen?
Yeah, coming up Friday morning, 9 o'clock.
She brought the food in here.
991thesportsanimal.com.
Logan, what are you eating, Logan?
Yeah, I got the Cuban. Very, very good.
Nice. I got the muffalata.
Yeah, you did.
Louisiana thing?
Yeah. It's a Cajun.
Cajun thing?
Kind of thing, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. All right. It is time for the VFL in the NFL update, and that's thanks to our friends at Blue Water Climb Control, bluewaterclimbcontrol.com. You can use the online dispatcher to book online.
They actually will come out there.
Yes.
Even if it's not like a big money maker for. No, they do that. I mean, that's a lot of places are like, what do you need? What's the service? What's going on? And then they go, God, that's not really going to make us hardly any money. We'll be there when we can, right? And then you sit around forever and wait, and then they don't come. They call Blue Water. They'll come hook you up.
Juwan Jennings for the San Francisco 49ers, a huge, huge game. Caught two touchdowns, six catches, 94 yards. Both touchdowns tied the game at the time.
So Juwan Jennings, his last year here, he was a slot receiver, and he was great.
Yes.
But he was mainly the slot receiver because he was like kind of banged up and like a little overweight. I'm not saying he was fat. He wasn't fat. But like he was a big receiver. Cedric Tillman-ish. Not quite the lower body as Tillman, but like a big guy. He looks like an NFL wide receiver now. He's long, lanky. He's all ripped up, you know, he's all shredded and all that, but he looks like a different player than he did here. He's way faster. He stays healthy. I mean, like you can tell that he has bought into that because he is going to play in that league for a long time.
Yes.
Good for him, man.
You also, speaking of great plays in that same game, Emmanuel Mosley had perhaps the biggest defensive play of that game as he picked off a pass with under a minute left in the third quarter, stepped in front of Cooper Kupp, a guy that you and I were talking about during the break.
Total baller.
First interception of the game for Matt Stafford, and made a big play on that one. Speaking of great defensive plays, Cam Sutton turned the tide for the Steelers in a playoff clinching game against Baltimore.
Back to Cooper Kupp real quick.
Yes.
Tangent. I've been trying to think when I watch him play, because he's the leading receiver in the NFL. Number one, him, in almost every category. You know who he is?
Who's that?
He is the Larry Bird of wide receivers. You watch him run routes, and you go, how is that slow guy just torching everybody? Why can't people keep him in front? How do they not cover him? Larry Legend was like the slowest guy on the floor. He torched everybody. That's a Cooper Kupp. He's Cooper Legend.
Yeah.
I digress. If I didn't say it, then I would have just thought about it, and then I would have not been listening to you. For everyone's sake, it was better that I just said it, and now I'll move on.
Alvin Kamara on the weekend, 146 carries, or excuse me, 30 carries, 146 yards.
He played good.
Second best rushing game of his career.
Did you see him on TV?
Yes, I'm. People were not happy about that. Whatever.
Who cares?
You know what?
Who cares?
He went on the sideline for Alabama and they lost. Yeah,
who knows? If we'd have been playing, he probably would have been with us. We weren't playing.
For sure. Final hour of the Hurricane Show comes along next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.